Welcome to Generative Age, a podcast that explores the rapidly evolving world of generative AI and its impact on education.
Guided by our expert facilitators, Alana Winnick and Dr. Cameron Faggio,
we speak with practitioners and thought leaders in education who are shaping the course of generative AI in the classroom.
Whether you're an educator, administrator, technology leader, or simply interested in the future of education, join us on this journey through the Generative Age. Powered by NYSTE,
the New York State Association for Computers and Technologies in Education. Join us as we explore the cutting edge of creativity and all the ways in which generative AI is changing the face of education. Everybody, thank you so much for joining us on another Monday night, the next step in our generative AI series hosted by Alana Winnick and Dr. Cameron Faggio. They've done such an incredible job with this series, and it's really picking up traction, not just statewide, but nationally. And we are beyond thrilled to be joined by AJ Giuliani tonight, who is no stranger to NYSTE or NYSTE events, but he's going to be talking to us about project-based learning. So we will ask everybody to please mute your mics, please your audio, and use the chat. And we look forward to a great presentation tonight. So take it away.
Welcome to our fourth session of Generative Age. Today, we have not only a very special presenter that we'll get to in a second, but we have a very special announcement. So, ready for the next slide, the big unveiling. We officially launched this into a podcast. So, as of right now, as of today, you can listen to these sessions on Spotify, Google, Apple, anywhere that you listen to podcasts, it's available. They're also available on YouTube as well. So if you'd prefer to watch them because there's visuals, you can watch them either on YouTube or on Spotify. Spotify has videos as well. And everywhere else, it's just audio. If you have colleagues that couldn't make it and you want to share it, feel free to share this episode out. And if you've missed some of the other episodes we had, Cameron and I did the first session, which was building a foundation in the common terminology. And the second one was Tim Needles doing AI and art, design, and music. And the third one was Chappaqua Central School District, who did an incredible job of an entire professional learning rollout, including in-service credits, as well as a full day superintendent's conference day. So I invite you to go back and watch any that you might have missed, and then listen, follow, subscribe for future episodes. Mm-hmm. And I will turn it over to Cameron.
Awesome. Thank you. Well, glad to see everybody here tonight. As we do with each one of these sessions, we start off with a poll, and we're just going to get a quick capture of the 100 plus people in attendance right now. Get a sense of who's here. One that's worth calling out is that we have 20% of our attendees are from outside the US. So that's very exciting.
That is very exciting. That's the biggest international one we've had so far. Probably AJ, thank you for bringing us international guests.
Definitely. Use the chat and please do add comments and questions. This is part of our experience through the Generative Age podcast. We like to use these comments and questions for our presenters. For tonight, we, as always, we start with the landscape update, and then AJ is going to walk us through project-based learning and generative AI. After that, we have a short Q&A, and then another favorite for us is the breakout session. So everybody here in attendance will break out into small breakout rooms and kind of dive into some different prompts there. Then we'll do a share out and invite you to some of our upcoming sessions.
As Cameron said, we're going to update you on some things you might have missed since our last session. Snapchat released My AI. This reminds me of the episode of South Park. One of them was using it to talk to their girlfriend and they didn't know what to say. Like, this is going to be the future for our children, opening their Snapchat app, which they use all day anyway, and chatting with their My AI. It hasn't rolled out to my account yet. It's rolling out to accounts, maybe children who use it more often than me. I don't use Snapchat all that much, but I did put a link for you to see what is My AI and how to use it. And then in bigger news, there was, I don't know if you've been following the news, there's a call for an AI pause. So I tried to pick the most unbiased news sources for you. Didn't want to make it political. Elon Musk and other tech leaders have called for an AI pause because they're saying that there's a profound risk to society until they could catch up and figure it out. And there was one time though, when there's a pause, on technology development, and that was with human cloning. So they did put a pause on that. And right now there's a call for a pause on AI. There's been no decisions made. Apparently, I put according to Forbes, Elon Musk is working on AI at Twitter. And so there's speculation that he just wants time to catch up. That is a rumor. That is not necessarily a fact. And Sam Altman, who's the CEO of OpenAI, he addresses the letter from Elon Musk and the other tech leaders. So I put all those articles for you there in case you want to catch up on what's been going on. That will really pause the development. And we're seeing things grow at the speed of light right now, and things are evolving every day. And by the time we meet with you guys again, there's so much to update you on. And if there is a pause, it's going to really halt things for a bit. So it's really important to stay on top of this. And Cameron, if you have anything to add to that, go ahead.
No, that's great. I think one thing that's very clear is there are lots of developments on lots of fronts. One area, certainly as OpenAI and Microsoft continue to develop their implementations of generative AI, you start to see other companies really coming to the forefront. And of course, Google has made their entrance with Bard. They just announced that it includes coding as a functionality within the Bard platform. So they're continuing to expand how that platform can be used. But Google is certainly seeing the momentum and looking to match that. And they announced that they're going to be modifying their search experience with this Project Magi, I believe, is how they're pronouncing it. And so that's just one of those many developments. And I think the challenge is, as we give these updates, there are a ton of updates. We're going to miss so many of them because this landscape is just so, it's evolving so rapidly. And so what we're doing is just kind of giving you some high points. And really, in this global development section, it's just that other countries are starting to build out rival chatbots. One that I didn't include here is Bloomberg created their own GPT model called Bloomberg GPT. And there's going to be a lot of other models that get created. There are new instances. So here are a couple of examples of those developments.
And also, I didn't put it in either, but I will go back and update these slides. Microsoft 365 has Copilot, which is coming out, and that looks absolutely incredible. And it's built right into the existing Microsoft 365 tools. I've seen little clips of it, and I'm really excited for it. So I know that we talk about in K-12 education, especially in New York with data privacy and security laws, there's no chatbot right now that follows data privacy and security laws for New York State for children under the age of 18. And once that's released, that's going to be a game changer for us. So I'm really, really excited about that one. And we'll keep you posted as things develop there as well. And we put in some new resources for you, as we always do. And we tweet new resources out all the time. So if you follow us at generative_age, you'll get more timely updates. But we just want to highlight our favorites. So there's the Day of AI, just like we have all of the other days and weeks that we celebrate, like digital citizenship and so on. There's now a Day of AI. So that's on May 18th. It's coming up. I put a link for you to register, as well as a link to the curriculum. And it is MIT designed curriculum. So there's training materials and curriculum there for you for free. And we invite you to celebrate with your own teachers and students in your own schools. And then another tool I found that I thought was really interesting is this GPT-1. We learned on the first session that generative AI is really just predicting the next most probable word. So if a computer can type using the next most probable word, the detectors really search for the percentage of the likelihood that the AI was used by looking at the words that are strung together and the probability of those words next to each other. So what was happening with the detectors is you write it something with ChatGPT, you pop it into a detector tool, and it'll be like 90% chance used AI. But then if you pop that text into another tool such as GPT-1, it replaces words with synonyms. So now it's really tricking the AI. AI is tricking AI. And it's not the next most probable word. It is a completely other words that are synonyms for those words. So when you run that text through the AI detector, the percentage of the likelihood that AI is used is significantly lower. So as educators, we need to be mindful of this. And there's other ways for us to detect, like such as manual detection. And we discussed that in the first episode. So you could go back and rewatch that if you need to. And we called it, there's going to be a day when AI can trick AI. And here it is. I thought that it was really helpful. OpenAI actually released a resource for educators. It's really great. It gives you like a lot of foundational background and resources. So I just wanted to put that out there for you.
There's also a recent 60 Minutes segment on this AI revolution and specifically looking at Google's contribution. It's looking at the wide range of areas that Google is looking at, not just generative AI, but certainly generative AI is taking a major component of the conversation because it's the most forward-facing. So it's certainly worth a look, kind of getting a sense of what the landscape looks like from that perspective. And again, this will just keep evolving over time as new developments come about. And one thing that's really worth noting are these two AI curricula. The first one is by AI.edu. It's a great resource. They're really well done, in my opinion, in terms of just the way that the content is presented. And they have some snapshots, which are real quick, concise, simple activities that you can use to really build awareness. And I think that's what's really compelling about those resources, is that they really have been designed to get that initial conversation going. So I certainly recommend those. The other linked resource here is Raise at MIT. And those materials, I know personally that I've used those to teach artificial intelligence at the middle school level. Here in Pleasantville, where I'm an assistant superintendent, we used it to bring it to our schools. Again, just really high quality materials, and encourage you to take a look at both resources as you start to think about ways to introduce AI into your classes.
Okay, so that leads us to our big guest. When this article came out from Education Week back in February, it looks like it was actually on Valentine's Day, it says, "Outsmart ChatGPT. 8 tips for creating assignments it can't do." So all the educators were up in arms, like, my students are going to cheat. How can I prevent them from cheating? How can I prevent them from cheating? So they came out this article, 8 ways to basically prevent your students from cheating. And number 7 on the list was project-based learning. Well, if you use project-based learning, they certainly can't cheat, and they can't use AI to answer the assignments. Yes, they can't just copy and paste it. They can obviously still use it, but we're not here to do like a gotcha. Like we want to use tools for the right way. So I'm like, okay, well, they're saying that we should look into project-based learning. Well, who other to talk about project-based learning than the one and only AJ Giuliani? AJ Giuliani is a former ELA educator, instructional coach, and director of learning and innovation. And he is a project-based learning expert. He's written 8 books. He's a best-selling author. He's an adjunct professor at UPenn, and he is the founder of Adaptable Learning. I put the links to a bunch of his books for you, and we are very, very, very excited to welcome AJ Giuliani.
Hey, thanks so much for having me. And just to talk about this important topic, I love kind of how you're running this. You're giving folks updates. You're keeping people going. And I love some of the previous episodes and what you're covering as well. I think a lot of us, and I was looking at the poll there, a lot of us are doing the work right now with students in some type of role. And I think it said 75% of the people in this room right now are doing some type of project-based learning already. And for me, when artificial intelligence kind of became mainstream with ChatGPT, December, January, everybody's starting to use it. I think the initial thought from most people was kids are going to use this to cheat, right? That was most of our conversations was kids are going to use this to cheat. We're banning it at state levels and all different types of things. And I think that was our initial thought as educators. There's been such a nuanced conversation that has come out of that though, right? Every place that I go, people I talk with have a nuanced conversation. And so now it's shifted to how can we embrace this? How can we use it? How can we adapt and begin to? And so I love these questions. I started off with these questions, Alana and Cameron, because this comes from folks who wanted to basically take this idea of artificial intelligence and combine it with the IB learner profile. If you know IB, it's very project-based learning. And so they asked this question, how might understanding our learners as AI augmented consumers, users, and creators of knowledge shift the focus away from cheating and towards constructive and productive relationships with technology? So I wanted to start with that kind of passage of like, how can we use this for constructive and productive uses of technology? The link that I have on that website, though, on the slide actually links right here, and you can kind of read the whole draft and kind of talk to you a little bit about that as well. I want to pull this up here. So first questions to ask, and I think this is really good to bring with your staff, your colleagues, but especially your students, is asking these questions, right? How am I understanding it, supporting it? What are the expectations? How am I modeling good use of AI interactions? And the ethics piece. I would love for folks to put in the chat right now, who has had some of these conversations with their students? And what has been some of the reactions with your students or colleagues there, specifically around how they can use it as a creative partner in PBL, how they can use it in the work that they're doing, and the ethics around cheating there. Because I think that's a big piece here, right, is talking about that. So take your time. I would love for the chat to just be kind of a back channel as we're going through these and I'm sharing some of these different examples here. So on the one side, we have the students. On the other side, we have the teachers, right? On the other side, we have teachers. How many of you, show hands, have used ChatGPT? You can just put them up, put your hands up, got them there. You got a bunch of people, right, that have used it. And if you're here, you probably used it as well, right? How many people have used ChatGPT for planning, instructional planning, right? I'm looking at how many people have used it for lesson planning. I'm seeing it right now. A bunch of people are kind of saying we're using that. And so what I saw when I started working with teachers, Jose says use it for planning as well. Share some of those use cases in there. I'll be sharing some as well. One of the most important things I saw is on the student side, there's all kinds of uses that the students can use it for. But on the teacher side, there's plenty of ways teachers can use it. And when I created this video, how to save hours of time as teacher, I didn't know there'd be such a big feedback from folks. But here are some of the different ways that you can use it, right? And I'm seeing in the chat right there, so keep on sharing. You can use it to lesson plan and unit plan. It can even backwards design units and lesson plans connected to your standards. You can use it to create assessments, create rubrics. One of the things that I've seen teachers using a lot is kind of taking student writing or student feedback or short responses, taking the rubric, put it on there, and getting feedback and having the students go through that process as well. For younger students, it looks a little bit different, but the teachers can use it for the same type of task over and over and over again. And I want you to look at the chat right there. Aaron just kind of laid out a bunch of different ones right there. Differentiating content. I was talking to Alana about this. I believe that ChatGPT and some of the other tools are some of the biggest and best UDL partners there, all right? The best UDL partners that you can have out there, right? And as Jesse said, it's a great thought partner in designing automation and workflow and those different types of things. And so one of the tools that we've been using a lot has been ChatGPT, but there's some other ones there as well. And so after talking with teachers, and we had a big roundtable discussion with about 200 different teachers at a bunch of different school districts, here's some of the things that people were sharing that they're using them for. And you're sharing the same things in there. It can automate many aspects of your assessment, freeing up time. It could be your UDL partner for personalized learning, creating rubrics, formative assessments, helping people to quickly identify skills a student is lacking. It can be a tool for blended and hybrid environments, right? Allowing teachers to interact with students in real time while maybe they're not there. It can automatically analyze student responses and generate detailed reports. I'm going to show you that in a second right here. And it also can be a personalized assessment, right? So it can create educational games, activities, allow students to learn at their own pace while they're having fun. These are just some of the benefits that we're seeing from the teacher side. All this to be said, it really leans into project-based learning in a lot of different ways. And I want to share what that looks like in a lot of different ways. And I am loving the chat right now. Are we seeing the chat? Hopefully we save this chat right now because people are sharing so many good things right now in the chat. But I wanted to share a couple different ways that it's working for project-based learning, a couple different examples, and then wanted to walk you through one of the tools that I am loving right now on so many different kind of levels here. So the first thing it can do is that it can help you with AI-based assessment and feedback tools. So we're running project-based learning, and whether you're doing, you know, the Buck Institute, PBL Works, gold standard PBL, or using more of a design thinking process like Stanford D School or Launch, or you go more inquiry-based or experiential, any of those types of things that fall under that PBL bucket, this is how it can really support. So number one, AI-based assessment and feedback tools. And if you've used any of these, share them in the chat below. But it supports students to work on projects at their own pace. It encourages their independent learning, allows for those assessments to go on, and enhances it by providing feedback. So here is just an example. A group of students were working on a history project, and they used the tool to learn about the events leading up to World Series at their own pace. What they got was tailored feedback based on their current understanding, helping them grasp it more effectively. And one of the best tools that I've used for that is CuriePod. Has anybody used CuriePod before? See if anybody has used it before. And this is a perfect for students and teachers. If you've used Nearpod or you've used any of those different tools like Pear Deck, it's kind of like that. It has a Kahoot feel, but there's a lot of things in there. So I want to run through and share you exactly what this looks like here. All right. So I'm going to stop my sharing for a second. I'm going to pull up CuriePod here. All right. And you can head on over to the website. I'm going to reshare here. You can check it out. And I need someone who is a teacher to break it down. We're going to generate a lesson together. I want to do it in real time here. So you're a teacher. Let me know, what do you teach, what your grade level is, and what's something that you're working on. Just share it in the chat right now. And we're going to do it in real time because I want you to check out what this looks like. All right, 12th grade poetry. All right. Okay. All right, 12th grade poetry. We'll start there. Kirsten was first to it. Any specific objectives or standards that you want me to add in there? There we go. Figurative language use. Okay. All right. So we're just starting very broad. Obviously, you would probably add a little bit more if you were going into it. But it's got some really cool features here in CuriePod that I want to kind of break down and show you a little bit of what this looks like. Anybody here can go, it's free, right? You can go to the website free right here and you can check it out and do this as well, all right? So what it immediately does is it breaks out a full interactive slideshow that your students can interact with you. And so when you press play, what it'll do is pull it up like a Kahoot or Pear Deck or Nearpod, give your students a code and they can interact with it. And so it breaks down specifically questions that you might ask. You can edit and change these in real time, breaks down a bunch of the different things that you can give some examples, some tasks, some activities for them to go through, whether it's an open-ended question, whether it's drawings or polls, and it breaks all of this down. You can add slides, import something you already had, or you can make a new lesson, all right? And the really cool thing about this is just like the beginning, all right? This is just the beginning. Because what it also does is when students start answering and students start interacting, and you could see a lot, right? It would take a little bit to go through all these different types, but what students start doing is they get a great base of personalized feedback. So you can give it and kind of train CuriePod of what type of feedback you would want your students to receive of what this looks like. All right. So let's do one more. Let's do somebody else. All right. Let's do somebody else. Let's see. Jane already did that science, fifth grade food train. All right, we'll do a science one here real quick. All right, so We're doing a food chain. Anything specifically in here? Just say science. We can do next gen standards if you want to as well. You're going to make me upgrade. I have to log in. But if you did it, I want you to go on and check it out yourself because I did log in. I didn't log in, but if I logged in, you'd be able to do it as much as you can. I wanted to show you one other thing here that they can give you. I did all these. This was something that my daughter was working on, and it was diseases during the American Revolution. All right. So this was the same type of thing. So this is an eighth grade, and she was working on a project that had to do diseases. I said, well, let's see what we can come up with, because she had to teach her classmates about diseases during the American Revolution. We're breaking it down like this. She was taking it, she was using it, and breaking it down. So I just want to share that from the start. But let's go back to that poetry one, right? Let's just go back to that poetry one. And I want to show you how you can then take this starter lesson and turn it into a project-based learning experience. This is how these tools work, right? You want to start from a place, right? And we could start right here. So we have all this information about poetry. We have these different concepts. And so, you know, we can start taking some of these things here, and we can kind of break it into some type of project-based learning. So here's what we're going to do. We would go to ChatGPT, and we would say, create a project-based learning experience for 12th grade poetry unit, focusing on, and then I just copied what that came to. So here's ChatGPT doing its thing, flowing through with a project and a bunch of different phases here, right? And again, you can regenerate it, edit, modify it, that different type of thing, right? Then you can say, I want you to create a rubric for that final project in a table format. So the rubric starts being created. Everything looks like this. And as a teacher, you're starting to develop. What would be an exemplar of a high scoring project on this rubric? And it can give you all these different types of things. So as a teacher, when I start developing and start building up project-based learning units, what I start doing is I start using these tools to create those things. And so when I talk about how this is an AI tool that can do this assessment and feedback tools, it's helping me create in real time what this looks like. But I got a couple more that I want to show you here. All right. So it also can be AI-driven content creation tools. So it can generate content as text, images. We just saw text right there, audio, all those different types of things. Let's take an art lens, right? Art class students are tasked with creating a digital collage for social studies project. They use an AI-driven content creation tool to generate relevant images and designs, enables them to produce visually engaging creative presentations that they can match up. Saves on time, and they can use a lot of different lenses for this. How many folks just in the chat have used DALL-E? I want you to, it's like OpenAI's counterpart, right? Of what this looked like. All right, Kirsten has, Jane has as well. I would love to hear how you have used it in the chat. How have you used DALL-E? Because I've seen people using it for all different types, and I love seeing this. People for all different types of uses. One of the best things I've seen has been for the creative process of really kind of designing and imagining what some of this artwork. We have images for presentations, using it for writing prompts. That's a great one, Jamie, right there. Creating a prompt for a drawing project, showing students AI-generated art to sell honey. That is awesome as well. And so when you start thinking about how we can use these tools, every time we use these tools in authentic ways, it is amazing for them to get the starting point of what we can use for project-based learning as well, right? And so the third one is collaborative tools. And so this is some of the stuff that Alana was just talking about there. Copilot in 365 is coming out. There's a bunch of collaborative tools in the Google Suite that's coming out. even though some of these things have been blocked, and I have seen that many of these things are being unblocked in states and cities and school districts around the country and around the world because they are changing their policies and they're doing some different things. Right here is collaborative AI tools, all right? And also, I want to point out Renee's point right here because I think it's really good, right? Use chat to get a list of great poets, and they're predominantly white. And I think one of the best things we can do is show students what this process looks like and how us as the prompt engineers can recreate that canon so that it is more diversified, right? Because when you start prompting it in different ways, it will give you different things as well. So it's a great point. Some of the things that we're talking about here, kids and teachers, we don't start learning until we start interacting with these things. And for me, that's why I'm always very afraid of people talking about blocking it. Artificial intelligence is already part of our world. It's becoming even more a part of every different piece of our world. It's not going away unless you're just joining, you know, a Luddite school out in the country. It's a part of all the technologies that we already have in front of us and that we're using in schools. And so how can we think about prompts and those types of things? Just a fantastic question from Renee. And what I think a lot of us have come across in these ways that we've kind of used it as well. Number four, and this is a really cool one here. Think about how we can use it in terms of data analytics and visualization. So a lot of times, young kids, old kids, us as teachers, when we're doing project-based learning and we're talking about doing surveys, authentic research, those different types of things, it's really hard for kids to understand what that visually looks like. Well, not really anymore. We can put a lot of that into different tools to get visualizations of what that looks like, have students making and exploring real-world data, drawing meaningful conclusions, because they're able to have access to a whole larger data set as well. And so these are some of the things that we're talking about in our community here at learningtools.ai. One of the things, and I just loved how you kicked this off, Cameron and Alana, is that these are always changing, right? And so some of the tools that we're using, some of the things that we're doing for project-based learning, are just coming out of the woodwork. I mean, almost every single day, I'm coming across a new tool. I'm tweeting something out. I'm trying something. Teachers are using something. And if you just look at our chat right now, almost every single person was sharing a different take, a different use, something else. And so that's what our community here is at learningtools.ai. It's completely free. You can just go there and sign up. We have over 650 members. And it's just people talking about this, sharing what they're doing, sharing what they're learning. It reminds me very much of when we started down the path of using iPads, laptops, Chromebooks, those types of things in the classroom. And we saw the education community come together to share best practices, next practices, how we're doing those things. I feel like right now we're at that moment with AI as well. And so again, Alana, Cameron, I love you having me on and just starting these conversations, the dialogues, and just happy to be a part of it in any way as possible.
That's awesome. Thank you so much.
I'm going to turn it back over to you.
Back over to us. All right. So the next segment is going to be questions and takeaways. And like AJ, like you said, the chat here just explodes and our participants have so much knowledge to share. So really, I turn it to you guys. Please put your biggest takeaway here. What is your biggest takeaway from today's session? Put it in the chat. And also, if you have any questions for AJ or just in general, as you know, we use your questions and comments to help guide future sessions. But I have a question for you, AJ. So as AI continues to advance, how do you envision project-based learning's role in shaping the future of education?
Yeah, well, I think everybody, I shouldn't say everybody, but I think most educators would agree that we're beyond all this testing, right? There's large polls and surveys done of parents, students, and teachers who basically all agreed at 80% or more that we would like to move away from the standardized testing environment we have. Well, the very kind of next jump to see what that looks like is performance tests. And for me, what I've noticed is when a tool comes along We remember the SAMR levels. Everybody remember those, right? Substitute, right? Augment, right? Modify, redefine. Sometimes tool comes along and it eliminates. It goes beyond redefine and eliminates. And what we're seeing right now is colleges all around the country getting rid of the admissions essay because they can't really tell that a student would write it anymore. And we're seeing people taking those things that we've always done and modifying and changing them and redefining or even eliminating them. And so what I think project-based learning's role is going to be is it's a very authentic way for kids to demonstrate their learning and understanding. And our ultimate goal as educators is to have kids show their learning, allow us to give feedback, guide and facilitate that learning, and have them demonstrate the understanding in a multitude of ways. I think for a long time, they have been tests and writing prompts and that type of thing. And so I think we're taking a big giant shift that all the research has already said that kids learn better when they're doing project-based learning. It's why Harvard got rid of all their lecture-based classes and moved to a more experiential. People have been doing this. I think this is that moment, though, that it gives K-12 education a big push over the hump to do a whole lot more project-based learning, K-12 across all subject areas and all grade levels.
So I'm going to jump in here and kind of piggyback off of that. And it might sound like I'm asking for a plug for a book, but I guess I kind of am. So I'm thinking about the audience and I'm thinking about If most of the people here are doing some sort of project-based learning, but if I'm not, and I want to really kind of dive in, what resources would you recommend? Or do you have like a curated list or a resource that you can point someone to that says, here are sort of like my top three for generative AI and project-based learning?
Yeah, well, I think that's like a new kind of, you know, like, thing that people are trying to do right now. There's fantastic PBL resources out there. Real PBL by Ross Cooper, Aaron Murphy. PBL Works has tons of things. My book, PBL Playbook. I would say right now, though, if you're really interested in PBL and generative AI and how you can do it, both Matt Miller at Ditch That Textbook and John Spencer at SpencerAuthor.com have put together free guides. They're fantastic. Both really focus on project-based learning. John Spencer is my co-author of Launch and Empower. His guide is amazing. It also has pictures and fancy, amazing sketch videos that he does. So if I'm wanting to get started, I would say it's a great place to jump off and get started.
Awesome.
I'm going to use your words. In your latest book, Adaptable, it emphasizes a framework to create a curriculum that works in our ever-changing world. That's what it said on the website. I'm sure you could not have imagined this present day world with generative AI that we're in right now while you were writing it. Or maybe you did. Reflecting back on that, if you had the opportunity to go back and revise that book based on the generative age, what changes would you make to address this new era?
Yeah, I would say most of our conversations for the foreseeable future are ethics and our principles. There is going to be tools out there that can do everything. And I mean that when I say everything, anything creative, anything to demonstrate learning or understanding, anything to learn. We've only been in this moment for a very short period of time. We haven't even hit the App Store moment. We're just there. If everybody remembers the iPhone, that's like ChatGPT coming out. It wasn't even that popular until the App Store was built on it. That's what's happening with AI right now, right? It's getting its App Store moment. And there's so many things that have come from it. What we're going to have to decide as educational institutions, as families, as individuals, is where our ethics are, where our principles are, what our learning principles are, what our creative principles are. You know, there's best-selling songs right now on Spotify on the top 10 that are by Drake, and he didn't sing it. It was someone who wrote a song, took an AI-generated beat, and generated his voice on top of it. What are the principles behind that? What are the ethics behind that? How are we going to do that? Knowing that not everybody will have the same principles and ethics as you. And so I think that is going to be the conversation that we will be having for the next decade or two, is really what principles will we lay on top of the learning institutions that we have?
Good answer. That's exactly what I think. I shared something with AJ earlier today, and I don't think you had a chance to look at it because it was pretty late in the day, but that's exactly what the thing that I shared with you is about. So I definitely, we're on the same page.
It's a big piece of it.
Yeah. So we're going to hop into breakout rooms next. I'm going to put the link to the slides in there for everyone. What we do at this point is we have subtopics that AJ helped me create based on today's presentation. So you'll get the opportunity to self-select a breakout room of your choice. AJ, as you see, they do a great job in the chat. They do a really great job in these breakout rooms, and they put together these collections of resources that are unreal. So just remember, if you choose a breakout room, everyone else wants to know what you talked about. So please make sure to update your slide so that the people that weren't in your room that are nosy and want to know everything, they can refer back to it later. So I'm going to go ahead and open up the breakout rooms, and you'll self-select a breakout room that you are interested in. Thank you for joining us in the breakout rooms. The conversations are really incredible. We learned so much from all of you, and each time we have these sessions, we just learn more and more and more. Keep coming back because we want to keep learning from you. So join us next time. Our next session is on May 15th at 7 p.m. We're featuring Mary Howard. She's one of our NiceGate members, and she just published a book called Artificial Intelligence to Streamline Your Teacher Life. So that session is on May 15th. I'm going to put the link to the NiceGate webpage that has all of the upcoming sessions that are scheduled to date. So you can sign up the next one with Mary Howard. And following Mary Howard, we have Donnie Piercy, who is also an author. He's working on a book right now about artificial intelligence, and he was featured on Good Morning America. So these are two really great presentations, and the link that I put in the chat, you could sign up for both, and it's a similar experience. So we invite you to keep coming back and keep joining us. And again, these sessions are recorded and available on YouTube, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and any other place that you want to find podcasts. So future sessions may include AI and the writing classroom, ethics, academic integrity, curiosity detection, assignment redesign, bias misinformation, and much, much more. So you'll help us guide these sessions. So we need you. So we're looking for facilitators, collaborators. If it's you or if it's someone you know, like AJ Giuliani or someone else that's doing a really great job with artificial intelligence, please let us know so that we can invite them to be a guest on this show, because this show is really your show as much as it is ours. And we want to make it as beneficial for you as possible. And we just want to thank you for joining us today. And if you have any questions, you can email us or find us on social media at @generative_age or info@generativeage.com. And our personal Twitters are at Alana Winnick and at Cameron Faggio. So keep an eye out for us and let us know if you have any questions. And again, listen, follow, and subscribe.
Thank you so much. I wanted to thank AJ Giuliani. Truly, this was a fantastic presentation. So everybody was lucky to have that tonight for sure. And as always, thank you to NiceGate for supporting this work and these podcasts, and this experience is powered by NiceGate. We couldn't do this without their support. So this is really very exciting. And thank you everybody for coming.
Thank you. And thank you, Alana and Cameron, for leading this incredible effort. Have a good night, everyone.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Generative Age, powered by NiceGate.
We want to remind you that you can join us during the live recordings of these conversations and engage with like-minded colleagues. This is a great opportunity to ask questions, participate in back-channel discussions, and engage in breakout room activities to further your understanding of the topics we discussed.
Stay informed about the latest developments in AI and education by following us on social media @generative_age. Join us next time for another exciting conversation. Until then, keep learning and keep growing in the generative age.